Today's guest is Catherine Beck, and Catherine is a coach of online entrepreneurs and broadcast journalists, hosts, actors, and voiceover artists. And she teaches these people how to emotionally connect to their audience using their voice. Our voices are such a crucial instrument in the world of especially online courses, coaching, and then, of course, acting. She has a background as an actor. She also has a really cool love story about she's in Australia now, moved there and didn't know that she met somebody and it was like love at first sight and very quickly decided to move to Australia. And she's been there, has two kids, and it's a great story. But anyways, we talk a lot about why using your voice and knowing how you come across is important. And so if you're somebody who is using an online platform to grow an audience and to help people, then it's so important that you understand what you're doing with your voice and how you can improve it with the tactics that she teaches. But I will stop talking and move on to the interview now, and you can get to know Catherine.
Hi, I'm Laurie Wright, also known as Not Your Average Grandma. I created this podcast as a place to go for midlife inspiration. If you are in a stage where you believe the best is behind you, it is my hope that one of these episodes will ignite a long suppressed or unrealized desire, and you will see the potential within yourself just waiting to be tapped so you can do amazing things with the time you have left. I want you to stop seeing your age as a limitation and start seeing it as your superpower. You have years of experience and value that a younger you never had. So it's time to lean into that and use it to fuel your future. No more letting age hold you back from the pursuit of a more passion-filled life. The more passionate we are, the better the world will be. So stop settling for average, put your AirPods in, and let this episode inspire you to take the first step in transforming your mind, body, and soul.
Welcome to another episode of Not Your Average Lives. And today I have with me Catherine Beck. And Catherine teaches people how to better use their voice. And we were talking before I hit record about what we want to talk about here, about how to better use your voice and how people are afraid to use their voice and stand out. And we're so critical of each other, or ourselves, actually, not so much other people, but we're always comparing ourselves to other people. So I am so excited to have you to just talk about this interesting subject. It's something that I don't usually talk about on my podcast. So welcome to the show.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It's so great to be here.
Yes. And Catherine is clearly American, right? Were you born in America?
Yeah, actually, I was born in Chicago, Illinois, and I lived there for about 20 years, and then I moved to Los Angeles. My background is acting and voiceover, so I moved to LA to live the big Hollywood actor dream, and it was just a random encounter with an Australian who is on holidays, as they say. And we met and fell in love. And within 6 days, I had to figure out, okay, well, what's the next step? What are we going to do? And
that was quick.
It was really quick. Within 3 months, we were engaged. And within 7 months of knowing each other, we were married. And I was on a plane to Sydney, Australia, starting a totally new life.
Were your parents sad? I mean, I think about if one of my kids moved to Australia, I'd be like, oh, it's far.
You know, the funny thing about that, yes, of course, they were, you know, sad, but my dad actually met my mom the same way. He was on vacation in Acapulco, Mexico, met my mom, fell in love, got married, and then she moved to Chicago. So it was like history was repeating itself.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So even though they were, of course, upset for me to move halfway around the world, they got it, you know, so they couldn't say, stay here. They knew that I had to fall in love.
So how old were you at the time?
I was 27.
Okay. And did you just say this acting career is just something that it's more important to be with him than do that?
Yeah. So I moved to Sydney, and you know, while there is an acting industry here significantly smaller than Hollywood, most actors leave Sydney or Australia to move to Hollywood, not the other way around. So
yeah, like Nicole Kidman, I think of, and I think of Russell Crowe and Hugh Jackman. Aren't they all Australian? Really great people from Australia, but
that's it. Yeah, exactly. So I was doing the opposite. So when I got here, I thought, well, how am I going to be an actor over here? Oh, I've got to learn the Australian accent. And I've always been really good at picking up accents because I've been a voiceover actor for many years. So I thought, 3 months, I will nail that accent. I'm going to start booking work over here like an Australian. And I realized I was horrific at the Australian accent. I sounded like an American trying to sound Australian, and it was not good. And it actually took me a full year of living in the culture, experimenting, speaking like an Australian when I was out and about, ordering a coffee or grabbing something at the grocery store. And finally, I was able to inhabit the accent and start booking work. So it was a combination of some acting jobs, American industry projects would be filmed over here, and I would be able to get work that way, and some things in the Australian accent as well. So I gradually was starting to build a career for myself over here, but I felt like there was something more that I wanted to do. I wanted to start teaching others because people were saying to me, Catherine, can you teach me how to speak in an American accent? I thought, well, yeah, duh, of course I can. I mean, I've spoken in it for, 28, 29 years now. And so I started to coach others how to perfect their American accent. And then in the last couple of years, I felt a calling that there was more that I wanted to teach because I had become an online entrepreneur. You know, I was teaching people all over the world how to speak with an American accent, but there was more that I wanted to teach. I noticed for myself when I was working online, even though I was so used to being a character, I was very uncomfortable being myself in front of the camera or the microphone. Yeah. That was really confronting for me. And so I had to overcome those fears of being myself and showing my true self to my audience. And I wanted to teach others how to do the same thing. And I realized it was very much needed. There's so many people out there that are uncomfortable using their voice, whether it's for business or just in day-to-day conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes when I think about actors, I think that they are acting like somebody else. A lot of them immerse themselves in characters, and it's hard for them to return to themselves when they're done. So yeah, I can imagine, and it spreads across acting where people just aren't living in their authentic self. And I've been talking about authenticity on my podcast at the beginning of this year, because it's so important. I said, in order to live your best life this year, if you really want your best year, you got to know who you are and start living from that place. And so, yeah, it's so funny being online. I started as a Beachbody coach. So I remember going live in the beginning when it was not a lot of people were online, but talking and going live stream and stuff. But I remember feeling so uncomfortable and like feeling so icky and like, ooh, my voice. I didn't hear my voice. It was like, it kind of reminds me when we were younger and we had the cassette tape recorders. I'm a little older than you, and you'd hear back.
Oh,
your
I
voice.
Had it. I had the old cassette tape recorders.
You'd hear back your voice and you'd be like, that's not my voice. Yeah. So it's like when it's projected out, I guess it's different. So it was really now when I hear my voice, and of course, having a podcast, I hear myself. It's so much like sounds like me. It's my voice. But it was so uncomfortable and so hard to get used to my own voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also the perception other people have of your voice. We don't really consider that a lot when we're using our voice online and we're speaking to our audience. We don't always consider how it's received on the other end. And that's really important, especially in business, is how are people recognizing what you're saying or not saying even. A lot of us silence ourselves and don't really maximize the capacity and the power that we have in our voice to move people, to connect them, to drive them to want to take action, to inspire them. So much we can do with our voice, and we're not actually utilizing it to its greatest potential. And that's why I see so many people lacking, is that they're insecure about their voice. And if they just took a little bit of time to understand how to use their voice, you could move mountains.
Yeah, it's just like inflections, right? Because, you know, it's like if you end with a, like, I don't know, I can't remember, but it's like, I know I've heard this. It, like, nonverbal is what, not, I forget what the, 90%. It's in the, not, yeah, 90% of what people are receiving. So, but yeah, they, so they look at you and then they hear your voice. And if your voice is doing anything weird, they're going to tune you out, I think, right?
Yeah, exactly. So like when you're talking about inflections, so one of the common things you might hear is the sounds will go up at the ends where things start to sound like questions.
Yes.
And if we continuously hear that from someone, what we perceive that on the other end is doubt, hesitancy, insecurity. So if you're feeling any of those feelings, it'll come through in your voice and we will pick up on that as your audience. We may not understand what we're picking up per se, but it is definitely transmitting over the microphone or over the computer screen or camera or whatever.
Yeah. And it's so true that, and I just saw another statistic on an Instagram post today that people will watch a video for 7 seconds. So it's so important.
It's even less than that now. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the attention span. So you gotta like, you gotta, that voice is key, and not start something with, a 7 second,
or that nervous quiver that a lot of us have. Yeah, exactly. So, and I always would say that to my actors as well, when I'm working on with them, it's an audition. We call it a self-tape audition. Is those first few seconds is that moment where the casting director is either going to continue to watch or turn to the next actor. And it's the same thing for anyone who's in an online business or putting themselves out there online, is those first few moments we're making a decision of whether or not we want to continue to listen to you, learn from you, hang out with you. So if you're just warming up in those first few seconds, we'll turn you off. The work starts prior to pressing record.
Yes. Good point. Good point. Yeah. Now, how do you, and this is not necessarily voice related, but I tend to like use my hands a lot. Yeah. Is that something that when you teach voice, do you teach as well mannerisms, like ways to pose when you're speaking, as well as just kind of inflection and accents and things like that?
Correct. So your voice is connected to your body. And so if you're working in an on-screen environment, you want to be conscious of how you're gesturing or how you're communicating to your audience. And that comes through your physical gestures as well. So again, if you're nervous, we can see you fidgeting or doing things with your hands or overdoing something because you're overcompensating for, you know, something else that's happening within the body, tension, uneasiness, nervousness. So as soon as you can start to get a handle of the thoughts that are going on in your head, that's going to help orchestrate what your body does. But it really does come down to awareness and practice. It becomes a skill, you know, doing what we do so effortlessly. It takes hours of practice to make it a skill. And a lot of people don't consider that. They think, oh, I can just show up online. I can say what I need to say, and that's going to convert into sales or convert into more followers, but it's not that easy. So the interesting thing about that is if you're not working on camera, then I recommend using a lot more physical gestures.
Oh, so, interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So for example, I've done a lot of animation work in the past. And when you're creating a character in front of a microphone, it actually helps to be really physical because we can actually hear that through your voice. So right now I'm using my hands more and I'm getting really invested in what I'm saying. And you can hear it when I use my hands, use my body. Now, if I stop.
I've seen clips of actors and actresses doing characters like in the Disney you know, shows where, mm-hmm. you know, Aladdin and things like that. And yeah, it's so true. They are very physical in front of the microphone. So it's so interesting you pointed that out, because I've seen that in clips.
Yeah, because if you play it physically, if you inhabit that character physically, we will hear it through the voice. It becomes, you know, not one dimensional. It becomes this world that you've created for us. We can see it. We can hear it. We can feel it now.
Well, they're kind of acting, even though it's not in front of the camera, you know, it's just audio.
Yeah,
they're really exactly. doing acting. Yeah. Yeah.
It's still acting.
Yeah.
But the fascinating thing about acting is just being. And so there's not that much difference between what you and I do and what an actor does. It's just, they're living in imaginary circumstances where we're talking in reality. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fascinating. You know, just actors. I watched recently the documentary. Val Kilmer did a documentary, you know, he has throat cancer now. And he I didn't realize how much of a method actor he was. How he really got into characters. And so, I mean, in fact, I think it caused his marriage to break up, because he would just become these different people and be gone for long periods of time. But wow. Yeah, it's an interesting. So now you've recently pivoted.
Yeah.
You were really focused on actors and accents and things like that. And now you're broadening it because you see how much people are probably not utilizing this instrument that they have that can really help them. And you see kind of the mistakes they're making. And so tell me kind of what led you into that pivot to help people.
Yeah. Well, two things. One was I was working a lot online. So I was noticing other people who are in the online space, and I was seeing them struggle with what I do. So naturally, the things that you can do so easily, you kind of take for granted. When you
yes.
then see other people who really struggle with it, you go, oh gosh, I guess it's not that easy what I do. And so I just felt for all these amazing online entrepreneurs I was seeing who clearly had a great message, great expertise, but weren't converting because of what I was hearing in their voice. So that was part of it. The other part was an evolution of myself, of when I stepped into the online space as an entrepreneur, I was very much so still an actor and still in this headspace of thinking of myself more of just another actor, and fell into entrepreneurship. Even though I've always been an entrepreneur ever since the age of 10 was when I first started my business. So it's always been a very big part of my life. But this identity of being a struggling actor, I've been an actor since I've been a kid, which means I've gone on probably thousands of auditions because I'm now 45. So I think I started auditioning when I was about 10. So 35 years of rejection, of getting heard.
Yeah.
No.
You get a lot of no's in that job.
Yeah. You get a lot of resilience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And they teach you, you need to be resilient, you know, do the audition and then forget about it. But as much as you do that, you know that somewhere in the back of your head, all of those no's are building up. And I didn't realize that for me, that I was really suffering from years and years of rejection, of then not thinking I didn't have what it takes to really succeed in anything. And as I started to gain success in the online space, I realized that I had less of a desire to keep up with this old identity of just thinking of myself as an actor, because I was so much more now. Now I actually considered myself a business person, and one that could be successful as a business person. And so as that new identity evolved and I recognized that, I realized that the audience that I was working with before wasn't aligned with who I am today. And I needed to shift that. Now, do I still work with actors? Yes, of course. And I love working with actors, and it brings so much joy and creativity to my life, but I wanted to work with other people as well. And that's why I pivoted.
Yeah. That's so great. Yeah. Well, we're in the same business coaching community. And so, yeah, I've seen your evolution and it's been really wonderful to watch. Yeah. I've even heard you talk with an Australian accent. So it's so much fun. I cannot for the life of me do accents. My kids are really good at it. I don't know where they get it from. Cause I think it is something that some people are just really naturally good at it. Mm-hmm. But like my younger daughter, I think she should have been an actress. She's taken improv classes and stuff. She had this dream of being on Saturday Night Live. So she can like mimic people on Saturday Night Live, which is really fun to watch. But I remember being in France once and I was like ordering room service and I was like trying to talk, like be French, but it was like, I think I was using some weird combination of different countries. And I was like, could I have some toast, please? And my daughter was just like, Mom, what was that? So yeah, I can't do it. I could use probably some help, but yeah. But I find in terms of my voice and my evolution as an entrepreneur is, you know, from that when I first went live and I was like, oh my God, I gotta redo that, And like listening to myself and being like, but the more that I grow, the more that I help people have transformations in what I do, the more passion grows, the more the confidence that I can help people grows. And that like just permeates your being. And so it comes through my voice. Like when I do trainings now, I'm like hyped up and very like, I don't like have those question inflections because, you know, I'm very confident in my, what I do now. So I think, you know, I know what you do and helping people with their voice, like can fast track that, right? Because just being aware of it.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's also, you know, it's taking people on a journey. So it's taking them from where they are now to where they want to be, or taking that next step to work with you is not speaking to them on one note. Showing them the pathway, and you can do that through your voice. You can draw them in, not in any sort of way that's like unethical, but a way where you're showing them the possibilities, you know, showing them that if they do want to shift something in their life, that possibility is there. And you can do that through your voice. You're connecting to them. And I think what a lot of people forget to do is to connect to someone. We get so wrapped up in our head and our thoughts that when we speak, we're speaking from here, from our point of view, but we forget how to connect that to the other person that we're speaking to. So it's almost like, and you can sometimes see it when there's like this like invisible barrier, but you can see it, that when somebody's talking to someone, they're not really actually connecting and impacting with them because there's still so much in their body and not attaching their communication to the other person, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And how do you talk to people? Because, you know, I've heard that you can put in sticky, like, you know, either makeup, like your ideal client, make a name for the person and, or like a real person that you've helped and have a picture of them or, you know, and their name kind of on a sticky where you're like speaking. And then it helps kind of, you know, make it a little bit more like you're talking to somebody, because when you're talking to just camera, it's kind of hard. And then you're looking at yourself and you're like, oh, well, you know, what's wrong with my hair's, you know, not doing right today. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's getting and that's such a great place to start. It really is getting comfortable with playing like you were 5 years old, going back to your imagination, visualizing that it's not just a picture, but you're actually speaking to that picture, that person is talking back to you. And we used to do that so easily when we were younger, but we get inhibited when we get older and we get self-conscious. So it's allowing ourselves to let our guard down, to play, to fail, to be big and bold, and actually have a conversation with them. Even though they're not speaking back, you're still having a conversation with them. And that easily transmits to a webinar or speaking live in a Facebook group or Instagram Live where you can see them making comments. So you are getting that communication from them, but you've got to hear it in your head. You got to hear those voices in your head.
Yeah.
But that's how we start to make it a real two-way conversation where then people actually feel like you're speaking to them, that you're not speaking to a big crowd, but you're speaking to that one person.
Mm, yeah.
So it becomes using your senses to actually imagine and feel like you're hearing them talk back to you. So then you can respond like you're having a two-way conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. And I bet because voice carries not just online entrepreneurship, but I mean, you can help people with TED Talks. You can help people with like leadership positions. You know, some people just, you know, they just need to figure that out because, you know, if you're a leader and you're getting up and speaking in front of a audience, it's pretty important that your voice is coming across in the way. It can be so distracting, you know, if you're not on point with it. So do you also do any kind of like story, how to tell a story type of thing too in it? Or because, you know, that's a big part of but like speaking to people, right? Is kind of having a beginning and an ending and a hero and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I do touch on that a little bit. But for me, I noticed that a lot of people already have that in place, or that's, you know, something that we can bring in. I like to focus on the part that people aren't really touching on, which is how to take those words or your thoughts and communicate those in a way that emotionally connects to your audience and to get you to feel really confident and free and present in the moment when you're speaking, to take your time to share your message, to create that impact or inspire others. So I don't spend as much time on the development of the story. I do, but what I've noticed in most people that come to see me is they've done all of that work. Mm. They've perfected their message, their origin story, their who they are, their avatar. They just don't know how to communicate that to take it to the next step.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And do you think that a lot of people are just like when they get on live and they do whatever they're doing, sometimes it's training, sometimes it's just a brief, you know, how-to video or something that they're doing, and they just like, boom, you know, they hit, you know, push to the world. And they never go back and evaluate. They never go back and think, how could I do it better? They're just like, oh my God, I'm so glad that's over. On to the next one, you know? And how are they bettering themselves? How are they, you know, if they don't have any knowledge of what's wrong?
Yeah. That's so funny, Lori, because that's one of the things that I have in my program, my voice program, is I call it a voice performance debrief.
Oh, yes. That's so good. Yeah.
you really need to take a moment to assess what you just did so that we can see where we can improve for next time. And that's so true. It's such an easy thing to do, and most people won't do it.
Yeah, because they don't want to watch themselves. Again, it goes back to that, oh, I'm my worst critic, and I can't bear to watch that type of thing. Yeah.
But if you're afraid to watch yourself, then that means you actually need to watch yourself, isn't
That's
it?
Right. That's right. Yeah. I make my students, even though I don't do what you do, but like just when we go through a coaching, I make them watch it again because, you know, when you're first going through it, you're hearing it with these brand new virgin ears, whatever you're getting coached on. And then you go back through it again, it has a chance to sink in. Then you're like, oh my gosh, kind of looking at it from an outside observer. And that's kind of, I think, what really is important to do if you're trying to improve your voice and how you come across. That's so good. So you have a podcast called the Voice for Business podcast.
Correct. Yeah.
And so who do you attract on that podcast? Who would be interested in listening to that?
All sorts of types of people, anyone that's an entrepreneur. So that could be any type of entrepreneur, from actors to online entrepreneurs to somebody who has a small business. voice is such a day-to-day thing. So really anyone that wants to use their voice for business, any sort of type of business, that's who I speak to in the podcast. Now, I do tend to focus more on those who are entrepreneurs who have, they're either a coach or they've got an online course or something that they're launching in the online space. You know, I do tend to attract a lot of people that use their voice in that sort of aspect or a podcast or something like that.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense. That's what your podcast name is. Do you have guests come on, or is it mostly you teaching and kind of giving your tips and that sort of thing?
Yeah. So in the past, I've split it 50-50 where I do episodes just myself, sharing tips and inspiration, and then bringing on guests as well. So I'm in the process now of bringing in new guests and, you know, navigating that space and listening. What I want to actually bring into the podcast is sharing other people's voice stories.
Yeah. And like before and after and what changed once. Yeah. I think that's really powerful. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's going to be a big direction in how I bring in interviews into the podcast for 2022.
So do you consider yourself an Australian or an American now?
Well, I'm both. I'm a dual citizen.
Yeah.
I've been here. I can't believe it's been 18 years.
Now, you know, are you still with the gentleman?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. That is crazy. A lot of those things you think, oh, it would never last.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Still that was true love in six
it
days.
Was true love. Yeah. It's funny.
And you met where? You said you met in LA and he was on holiday. So was it at a restaurant or where was it?
It was at a bar on the Sunset Strip in Los Angeles. So if you know the Sunset Strip, like the bars on the Sunset Strip, like they're just very touristy sort of places, not the places you would think you would meet your future husband. So you never know where life is going to take you, right? I always said when I was in my 20s, gosh, I really would love to visit Australia one day. And then,
I would
boom.
Love to go to, that's one of my bucket list places. Definitely.
Well, you got to come. Yeah. It's amazing. And it's been a really great place to raise kids. I've got two kids and it's just a great lifestyle here. I do miss the US and I love coming for a visit. It's interesting now that I've been here for 18 years that I do get a bit of culture shock when I go back. But it always feels like I've never left.
Yeah. Are you coming in 2022? Because I think I saw, are you going to be in the same? Yeah. You're going to be where I'm going to be, right?
No.
We're going to get to hug in person, aren't we?
No.
Oh,
wait. Yes. Actually, yes.
Yeah.
We are.
Yes.
I am going to be at that one.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm excited.
Yes. I'm very excited. Yeah. No, that's going to be amazing.
I know.
And I'm really excited for that. Yes. Yeah, so it'll be great to meet in person.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So any last words? I like to always end and ask, like, what do you, when you hear the word, not your average life, or, you know, the name of my podcast, what does living a not your average life mean to you?
Well, I think I have lived not the average life by, you know, when in those moments, and that was a real life-changing moment for me. When I think back of what got me to where I am now was I heard my husband's voice. He ordered a couple of beers at the bar and that Australian accent piqued my interest. Now I had two choices. I could either be silent or I could say something. He said something that really piqued my interest. So I used my voice. And one of the big sayings I say to my students who are really hesitant to use their voice, I say, this is your voice declaration. Think about this and use this before you speak. And it's, I have something to say. Mm-hmm. And that's always been like the little trigger for me in those moments where I think, should I say something? Shouldn't I? I think I have something to say. And then I use my voice. And if I hadn't used my voice in that moment, I wouldn't be where I am today.
How did you use your voice? No, I'm very intrigued. How did you use your voice? Because this could be like a, you know, good dating tip for some people who are looking, right?
He said something to the fact he had just gone in town from Vegas because they were, you know, on a vacation. They went to New York, New Jersey, Vegas, and then their last stop was in LA. And he had said something about, oh, there were a lot of Midwesterners in Las Vegas and they were kind of like trashy. And I was like, trashy? I'm from the Midwest. Are you saying Midwesterners are trashy? And he said, where are you from? And I said, Chicago. And he said, oh, that's East. And I said, no, we call it the Midwest. And he's like, no, it's East. And I'm like, you're from Australia and you're telling me where Chicago is located. So it took him saying something about the Midwest that piqued my interest. And I could have just sat there and said nothing, but I was like, no, I'm going to speak to this guy. And so I followed my intuition, my instincts that were saying, say something, say something, say something. And I'm so glad I did.
Yeah. I always wonder, it's so funny you bring that up because I always wonder about people who have never been to the United States. And they come and the places they visit are like New York, Las Vegas, and Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And it's like that if you are not even like touching on kind of the real America, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and those are such melting pots. Las Vegas is like crazy. I mean, it's so fun. It's fun. It's fun.
It's fun. It's,
yeah. It's not kind of like your typical, you know, town in the US of A.
It's not real. I mean, it's like an adult. It's like an adult playland. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It is a fun place though. So thanks so much for being here and thanks so much for sharing your story. I think what you're doing is so powerful and great and in teaching people to use their voice and impact more people, because the better you can use your voice, the bigger the impact, right?
That's right. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. And maybe after we meet, I can at least say a couple sentences with an Australian accent. That would be really cool. That would be really cool
if
I could do that.
I'm going to teach all. Okay. That's going to be so much fun. I'm going to teach all of you how to speak in an Australian accent.
Yeah. Well, I am excited. Yes. It's crazy that there are actors and actresses that are British that I had no idea were British. Like I just learned that the woman on Yellowstone, what's her name? Beth Dutton. She's got a British accent. Like when she talks, she has a British accent. I'm like, whoa, you never know it from watching her on the show. But anyways,
we are chameleons.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So amazing. So, all right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Not Your Average Lives podcast. If you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe on iTunes if you have an Apple device. You can find free resources and learn what else I have going on at the moment that might interest you on my website at notyouraveragegrandma.com. You can also find me on Instagram or Facebook at notyouraveragegrandma. If you liked this episode, it would make my heart so happy if you could leave me a 5-star rating. You can also add a review to let me know what you like about this podcast, which will help spread the word about it to others who need a little midlife inspiration. As always, be you, listen to your inner voice, and focus on reigniting that lost spark so you can start living your own, not your average, life.